We're heading over now to the UK and we're speaking to Sam Jordison on his book, The 10 Worst of Everything. Good afternoon, Sam. How are you? Hi, Sam. Try again. Hello.
Hi there.
The whereabouts are you in the UK at the moment, Sam?
I am, yeah. I'm in Norwich.
Is it nice and sunny and tropical? Because it's wet and cold here in Spain, believe it or not.
Oh, is it? Yeah. It's the same here. You're not missing anything.
Fantastic. Right, okay. This is great because a lot of times, I interview people with books about people who became success stories, went against the grain, made it in life. You know, we love a good success story. And your book's celebrating failure, isn't it, in many ways? We hope the book will be a success, of course.
Yeah, thanks. That's nice of you. I suppose it is celebrating failure. And, you know, most of us aren't successes.
Cheers, that's depressing. That's lovely. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate your time this afternoon. But you're right, aren't you? I mean, there's a lot of things actually that don't work. And yeah. I mean, a lot of people have success in their life, but it's not all. I mean, a lot of the things that you look at in the book, I mean, one, David Bowie, for instance, one of his albums is one of the failures. Really, I mean, you can't say that David Bowie was a failure.
No, that's true. But I mean, even I guess the point there is that even David Bowie got things wrong, especially in the 80s.
It's comforting, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it certainly is for me. But I think it does make us feel better. And, you know, we're all, you know, there's only one number one, but there are plenty of the rest of us.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Where did the idea come from then to write this book?
It came from a few places. I mean, partly it's because of, you know, Brexit and Trump and everything that's going on that's making the world feel so bad. And obviously that's quite depressing too, but you know, you can see the brightness, you know, there's light in the darkness and you can have a laugh. So that was part of it. And in a way it's kind of the culmination of my career. I wrote some books about the worst places to live in the UK, the Crap Town series.
And,
a few years ago. And, I did another book years ago about bad dates, things that have gone wrong and romantic encounters. And so it kind of felt like the logical extension of those books was to do the 10 worst of everything.
Is there a common denominator with you in these? have you lived in the worst place and had the worst dates?
To a certain extent. I think I've been a very bad date, but that was a long time ago now, I'm happy to say. And I grew up near Morecambe, so that was the inspiration for the book Crap Towns.
Yeah. And of course, we love Morecambe, of course. But I know what you mean. So in this book, it's great because there's, you've got, maybe touch on a few. We've already talked about the 10 things you were told at school, which weren't true. But there's so much in here, it really is. And it's almost like a celebration of failure, doom, disaster, miscalculations. But let's just maybe focus on, the 10 saddest places on earth. I mean, first of all, there must have been a lot of research that goes into this because, I suppose there'll be people that will disagree with some of the outcomes of your research, no doubt. That's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's an awful lot of research. And funnily enough, I did a book previous to this about fake news and Brexit and Trump and all those things. And it turned out there was a lot more fake stuff on the internet about top 10 lists. And so, you know, I'd be looking up top 10s of various things. And nearly all of them would come untrue if that's. And people are. So lots of it is based on research. Lots of it's based on statistics and fact. But some of it is just based on my opinion. And I heard those bits are quite a fun, you know, I'm not expecting everyone to agree with me, but I'm hoping part of the appeal of the book will be disagreeing with me and, you know, thinking about your, you know, how that reflects on your own view of things. And it's fun to disagree with people quite often.
Exactly. And there is, and actually I think we've lost the art of disagreeing with people without getting too without getting too uptight about it. But there's a lot, it's really quite popular at the moment. I mean, on YouTube there's a top 10s of everything on there, isn't there? And top 10 movie quotes, all this sort of stuff in there.
Yes. And they normally go the other way, of course. It's the top 10 best things. It's astonishing how many of those things, the statistics they use and everything else don't turn out to be quite right. So I spent a lot of time gnashing my teeth and, revisiting facts when I was writing it. But again, you know, I think the book's come out stronger because of that, because of the things they had to whittle out.
Do you get a lot of grief then? Because, you know, if you say, like, you know, in your other book, you know, the top 10 worst places to live in the UK or whatever, there's going to be a few people in those places say, hang on a minute here, hang on. I live here and I love it, you know.
Yeah, it always goes both ways. So, you know, there are people that object, but then there are people who agree very strongly as well. And certainly with the earlier the Crap Towns books, part of the thing was that no one was telling the truth about these places. So, you know, growing up near Morecambe, I'd be reading the local paper about how fantastic everything is. And meanwhile, you know, the poor town is falling apart. So it was, you know, it was trying to get the truth out. And I think quite often it was cathartic for people, and people liked that at last someone was facing up to reality. And, you know, once you face up to reality, you can take it on and start to improve things. And that certainly happened in a lot of the towns and crap towns. Like Morecambe, for instance, is much nicer than it used to be. It's beautiful again.
You might have to do a redoing of the book, maybe, you know, a revised version. And Morecambe's now one of the happiest places, you know, second only to Sweden or somewhere, you know. Now, you got the worst TV programs of all time, but I just wanted to check, first of all, you haven't got the worst radio shows, have you? Because I'm a bit worried about this.
Do you know what? I don't. All right. No, but as you say, another edition of this would be great as well.
So. Well, just keep your eye off this radio show. That's all I'm saying. Worst TV programs, because it will be number one. Worst TV programs of all time. And as I say, some of these will surprise people in here. The Cosby Show, number 10. that's quite contemporary, isn't it, in the current affairs at the moment. So yeah. What's your feeling about some of these? I mean, Game of Thrones, for instance. I mean, that's a massive success, isn't it?
Yeah, Game of Thrones. I slightly put that in there to annoy people. But then again,
there's a rebel inside, isn't there, Sam?
Game of Thrones, it's quite entertaining. But, you know, all those swords with names. And there was a point I think it was in the second series. I didn't get past the third series. You know, and someone gave birth to a demon that was going to kill just one person. It was this huge, powerful demon. You know, why not take out all your enemies? And then, obviously, why not? Because then the series are just finished.
Exactly,
so many things that don't make sense in there that, you know, I do find it quite hard to watch.
I didn't get past the first series, believe it or not. And I probably, if I gave it a chance, I would actually enjoy it. But now, The Apprentice, this is your love of Donald Trump again, isn't it? are these obviously not based on ratings, because these programs are doing really well, aren't they, in the ratings? I mean, The Apprentice in the UK, of course.
These ones are pretty much based on my opinion. So it's quite easy to see in the book where they're based on stats and ratings and critical roundups. I explain it, and where they aren't, you can just assume it's me. Well, I was going to say gassing on, but I hopefully I back up my opinions and at least make them funny.
Well, and thought provoking as well, and maybe and discussion starters. I think this book would be great, you know, when you've got your friends round and you're having a chat with them and say, look, what do you think? I think it'd be great discussion starters for that. And if you don't mind, I think we've got some radio material here as well. The Alex Jones Show's in there. That's kind of your chemtrails, isn't it? And all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Conspiracy theory. Never watched that. That is incredible. I watched a few episodes when I was researching the book, and it really is foaming at the mouth.
He's just angry all the time, isn't he, Alex?
He is angry, but the serious side of it is it's pretty dark and pretty depressing and pretty dangerous, the kind of stuff he's telling people. But yeah, it's also nuts. I mean, the chemtrails and if you get anyone getting onto Google after this, Google gay frogs Alex Jones, you'll have all kinds of laughs.
You have to be careful. I mean, not children looking at it. Be careful, kids. Do get your parents' permission first. Number three on the list is Naked Jungle. And I don't know, there's something that came up on the TV the other day, an advert for a naked dating thing on Channel 4. And I thought, what is this? I'm thinking, did the inventor of television realise that this is what's going to happen in the future?
I know, it's tragic, isn't it?
Yeah. Jim will fix it, number one. I think that, you know, we don't need to explain why. That's number one on your list of worst TV programs of all time. Were there someone here that you thought, you know what, I actually like these things, but the ratings and research is telling me otherwise.
There were a few things that I really had to think about and wonder about. I guess, I mean, some of the most difficult ones. I wanted to put quite a few things about the Beatles because, yeah. you know, I love the Beatles like everyone else does, but I wanted to kind of say even the Beatles get things wrong.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I kept getting pangs of guilt writing about Ringo Starr's worst records, like the terrible things he did in the 1970s, you know, when he had a bit of, you know, few substance abuse problems. the resulting records were pretty low standard. I did feel slightly sorry for poor old Ringo.
Your conscience was kicking in then.
Yeah, considering the brilliant things that the Beatles have brought for us and the great stuff they've put in the world. But yeah. You know, they did do some terrible stuff as well. So it's worth saying Maxwell Silverhammer.
Now, one of our sports co-presenters on this show is a Tottenham Hotspur fan, and the most goals conceded by a Premier League team, number 10 is Man City, 952, Arsenal, 962. We go all the way down. We've got in there Chelsea, Southampton, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Newcastle United, 3, West Ham United, number 2, Everton at 1,265. Number 1 is Tottenham Hotspur, 1,267. So that was up until the June of 2018 this year.
Yeah.
So how did you come up with the ideas for the topics and what you were going to cover? I mean, it seems like you've just got loads and loads and loads of stuff in here.
Yeah, and I think in a way that answers the question is I wanted to make it as comprehensive as possible. So I started thinking as broadly as I could. I wanted nature in there. So there's lots of nature ones. In fact, some of those were fantastically fun to research. Fascinating, the various ways you can get killed. and so I wanted science, I wanted nature, I wanted the whole world, I wanted history. And so you can already see that topics are starting to form. I wanted popular culture. And then you dig down into those. And I could have kept going forever and ever, really. One of the challenges was decide, you know, filtering things out, trying to decide what were the most important things to include.
And I think you've been a bit harsh on this particular sport. I don't know if you've got the book in front of you, Sam. I'm talking about Alex Jones. But to the top 10 most boring spectator sports.
Yes.
Have you got the list there by any chance? Page 130, if you've got the book.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I've got it, yeah.
Do you want to read out that list, Sam? Because I'm not going to take any grief over this. Because bearing in mind that there's a lot of courses around this area in Spain.
Okay. Oh, yeah, of course. Great fun to play these sports, yes. I'm sure. But it's watching them. So, oh, God, I've got to resist doing the pop picker's voice now.
Oh, yeah. All right, mate. Not off, right?
Yeah, not off. Okay. In a 10, it's sailing. And then number 9 is golf. Number 8.
Hang on, Sam. Hang on a minute. I've got something for you. Here we go. Hang on. Right. Okay. I'll tell you when to come in. Now.
10, sailing. 9, golf. 8, ice hockey. At number 7, it's golf. Number 6, it's Quidditch. Number 5 is golf. Number 4, basketball. Number 3, it's golf. Number 2, American football.
Hang on, wait. You've got to build up the tension. Hang on. A few more seconds. Hang on. Number 1 is
golf. You see why I'm not the DJ. Yeah.
So were you not watching the Ryder Cup this year, no?
No.
Brilliant, there we go. Fantastic. There's so much great stuff in here. There really is, but you don't like golf. I don't think you like golf, do you?
I don't like watching golf.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy playing crazy golf, but that's a whole different thing.
Well, one of the ones which I was interested in because I love my music is the worst albums. And one worst album is one of the most overrated albums.
Yeah.
Top 10 worst. And one of my favourites in the Eagles, Hotel California. I thought, what's he doing here?
I'm sorry about that. But the thing about the Eagles is, you know, the Eagles are all right. But if you listen to Graham Parsons, the thing that that sound
rock
was based on.
Yeah.
And it's so much better. And you kind of think it's gone from that to this.
Yeah. You're not a big Eagles fan then, are you? I was going to play the Eagles for you, lying eyes, but I'll leave it now. Well, there's lots of great stuff in here. There really is. We've only just skimmed the surface. Maybe let's just do one more before we bid you a fond farewell. We've done the top 10 most boring sports. Top 10, let's have a look. The 10. Well, what was the saddest places on earth then, maybe? Give me one or two of those if you can think of them.
Those are the ones with the place names, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, are they the names? Right, yeah.
Yeah. So that was just a list of hilarious names I found, like Dismal Lake, and I'm just trying to...
Oh, so they're not literally the saddest places then? They're just, they sound sad.
They sound sad, yeah. The beauty of... So I did have a lot of fun looking through maps and various geography books. I was going to give you the 10 most baffling Welsh words.
Then, do that then, yeah.
All right.
Hang on, I've got the music for you. Here we go. All right, okay. Getting the hang of this now.
All right. Number 10, I'm going for tomb fat, which means idiot. And number 9, toop sin, which means idiot. And number 8, you've really got to see the spellings to understand these. Yes. They even say, you can hear me struggling
yes,
over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a squash, the sport. One way you spank... Oh, I really like this one, actually, because it's called sponking, because you spank the ball.
Okay.
All right, I'm never going to get this out. Churlui Gugan, which is a merry-go-round.
Yes, I know that. No, don't go on.
Bulchi Gwyn, which is a place called White Pass. Moron.
Right.
Which is a carrot. I don't think I can say the next one on the radio.
No, leave it. Now, if you're in doubt, Sam, leave it out. Leave it out.
Okay, any Welsh listeners will know why I'm hesitating. The translation is first, but I'm not
going to... Okay, leave it out. Leave it out. Leave it out, because I don't fancy resigning today.
I should never... I'm encountering trouble again.
Okay.
It's jellyfish.
It's worth mentioning at this moment, Sam, that there are some things in there a little bit close to the bone for adult eyes only.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you can
think quite innocently, but yeah. You know, if you one step wrong, and I would get the step wrong, you're in a lot of trouble. Okay, let's skip to number 2. Usbutty Ustwith, which is translated as Agile Hospital, which completely... baffles me.
You know, it's like having a Welsh speaker in the room with you. You're really that good.
You know, I used to live in Wales and was taught Welsh at school, but I find it very hard. Okay, number 1 is Clan Fi Puckle Gwyn Gil Go Guy Uch Gwyn Drob Wuckle Clan Twee Silly O Go Go Goch.
Which means...
St. Mary's Church in the Hollow of the White Hazel near to the Rapid Whirlpool and the Church of St. Elisu of the Red Cave. All one word.
Listen, Sam, thank you for coming on. The book's available on our website, tre.radio. I'm playing the Eagles for Sam now. It's called The Top 10 Worst of Everything, and this is especially for you. Peaceful, easy feeling. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Bye-bye.